I'm Brady Berserker.
I'm Big Sexy Brian Bales.
And I'm Metal Mattson from Super Geeky Playdate,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in
3, 2, 1.
Man, the Atlanta police be tracking me. There's an extra help at a Sony News. Where the f*** is Rorschach? And much more. So grab your spoons, because the soup is served.
All right, welcome to Digital Soup, the only podcast that is always in the mood for a T-Swift story.
Are we ever?
Oh, no.
And of course, Adam has no idea what I'm talking about, and Dave's right away, oh no. Should we clue him in there, Dave?
Or yeah, just... clue him in.
Yes, well, you know, Taylor Swift is a singer-songwriter.
Uh-huh.
She is very talented. Yeah. And my name is Jason, and joining me in the virtual studio today is Adam and usually Dave. How's it going, gentlemen?
Hey, sup? Doing good.
Why do you want me to stop again? We did that last week.
Oh yeah, I gotta change it up. Word to yourself and your peeps.
Who's saying word up? Word up. Who was that?
All the pretty girls around the world. Word up.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
What's up? Now I've got now
Morris
I'm
Day in the Time.
Cameo.
I don't know if it was Morris Day. Who was it, Adam?
Well, we lost Adam there for a second, and just so everybody knows, you're not going to hear his loss at all, but yeah. Dave and I are. He's having some storms and stuff over where he's at, so his audio keeps dropping, but you guys will hear him perfect. Dave and I will just look like idiots.
The weird thing is, I can hear you guys perfectly, and there's no break,
huh?
So it's weird.
Well, if it sounds like we're ignoring you, we probably are, but it could be the internet.
Good.
Good. You just won't ever know.
Breaking news straight out of the breaking news room. We've got a new issue from the FBI that's just issued a warning on routers. And that's about as much as I can talk like that.
That's more than I could have done.
So this first story, the FBI has actually issued a public service announcement. We're going to link this up in the show notes. On May 25th, foreign cyber actors targeting home and office routers and network devices worldwide. If you guys have not been living under a rock, you've probably heard the news either on social media or on the news on television that they're asking folks to reboot their routers at home. My first thought when I heard this was, what the heck good is that going to do? Because rebooting your router changes no settings. Actually, reading the public service announcement, what they're saying is that the foreign actors, and what the articles are saying is Russia, are using VPN filter malware to target
Russia,
targeting small home and office routers. And the malware is able to do a lot of things, including information collection, device exploitation, and blocking network traffic. Yes. It could also do a denial of service attack. So what the FBI is asking is, anybody that owns a small office or home office router, reboot it temporarily to disrupt the malware and to aid the potential identification of infected devices. So I believe the FBI's stepped in, and as far as the network traffic goes, they're able to tell which devices are affected after the reboot. And it's going to help them.
Yeah,
it's going to help them identify what's going on. So they're also saying network devices should be upgraded to the latest available versions of firmware. Hopefully that solves the issue. But it sounds like this has got a tremendous impact across the whole country here. So
my question here for you, Adam, is how were people notified about this warning from the FBI?
I first heard it on the local news.
Okay.
Out of Minneapolis here. And then of course, there's stories all over the web on it. The FBI themselves actually issued a warning online, which just kind of shows up on their website.
Well, here's my next thought is, how many millions of people all at the same time were screaming, "What's a router?"
That's me.
The blood is leaving my head.
How come we're always from the South when we do that?
So that's from an old Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, it's like a classic Saturday Night Live.
Anyway.
What did you say? A chicken?
Clucking chicken.
Oh, okay. You dropped out again there.
So
that you're being naughty.
Oh, did I actually drop out?
You just dropped out again there.
No.
Did I actually drop?
I'll have a burger with So the Cisco Talos security team actually first revealed the existence of the malware and said more than 500,000 devices in at least 54 countries were infected. Devices made by Linksys, MikroTik, which is something I've never heard of, Netgear, TP-Link, and QNAP network-attached storage devices, NAS devices, are just a few of the manufacturers. But
was
they
that
actually
MikroTik?
It says MikroTik. I'm guessing it's probably supposed to be tick.
Yeah,
it's a really small tick. It's called a deer tick.
I was gonna say
you might
get
limes on your router.
That sounds like
Do you think Cisco might have a thong on his router?
Let me upgrade my firmware. So straight from Cisco.
Where is Cisco now, man?
He moved to like Maple Grove, Minnesota, or something. Last I heard.
Oh, seriously?
Boy. I thought
Does he still have white hair?
I don't know.
Well, you should go look him up, man.
No. I got other things to do. I got to go reboot my router. Maybe that's our problem.
Well, security chief Adam has said, everybody go reboot your routers, all right?
Yep. Yeah. So Symantec also published a list of different devices that they know are infected. I'm going to post that in our show notes as well. Looks like the majority of it is Linksys. Oh, they're calling it MikroTik also. I got to Google this one.
I've never heard of MikroTik.
It's just a smaller version of Tik.
Yeah. It's like a Latvian it's a Latvian company.
Huh.
But they've got a whole list. It's Linksys, Netgear, and some other stuff, TP-Link. So update your firmware. That's actually, if you don't know how to do that, you can usually Google the device name and then update firmware. And once you log in, even if it's a router that you're getting from your ISP, there should be an area in there for you to download the latest firmware once you log into the router. If you need help, contact your ISP. So that was a huge warning that came out affecting a lot of folks.
This has been Digital Soup AccuReporting.
I love bumpers.
Nice.
Because they protect your vehicle.
Well, let's go from the FBI to the police in Orlando. What do we got going on there, Dan?
Dan.
Usually Dan.
Oh, well, no, man. You're a news. We're doing the news now. So it's like Dan and Skip and I don't
Keith.
Know.
Keith. Is there no Daves?
No.
I thought that's a pretty common name. I mean, yeah.
Daves usually just do weather.
Yeah, that's true.
Or they like run errands, get some donuts or something.
Yeah, I'm the coffee boy. No, what's going on is basically Amazon has a program out there. It's called Recognition, spelled trendy like with a K, R-E-K-O-G-N-I-T-I-O-N. And what it is a facial recognition software. And so there's been a lot of talk about, you know, law enforcement using this and in situations with like mug shots and things like that to really help blast through this data a lot faster.
Hey, Dave, real fast. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but yeah. I'm not really. Before we go any farther in the story, you said so it's Recognition with a K?
That's what it says here in the article on NPR.org.
Is this a Russian company?
I have no idea. It's Amazon.
I understand that, but, you know, Russians have the Ks everywhere.
I think it's just a trendy way they're trying to spell something. Deep learning-based image and video analysis is what it is from Amazon. For the most part, American police departments have kind of held off on this because I guess there has to be some question as to how to implement this in a legal way and all of that kind of stuff without breaking privacy and things like that. But apparently, the Orlando Police Department has recently taken it on, you know, it had decided to give this a shot, not just for mugshots or anything else, but they're doing real-time facial recognition using about 8 different cameras as a test throughout the city. And essentially what it's going to do is, as people are walking around, whatever these cameras are capturing, that service is working to identify those people just while they're walking on the streets and then run them against the database of known, you know, criminals or whatever it is. Now,
can it track down Cisco?
Well, maybe, but he's not in Orlando. You said he's in Minnesota, so
I believe that's the case.
We would
do
have
you think,
to wait.
Since this is America, do you think the cameras might be catching you slipping up? Yeah, because you might be falling and slipping up, you know.
Could be.
Yeah. I'm not touching that one.
What's the legal ramification of something like this, though? I mean, so Big Brother's watching you.
That's the thing. I don't really know, and I think that's something that's got to be hammered out still, because apparently the Orlando Police Department and Amazon are saying it's a pilot program. It's being used in accordance with current and applicable law, whatever that means. I guess I don't really know. However, they did say that, you know, right now they're not saying if they've used it in the past or will use it that way in the future, but they're not saying that at this time they're using it in any sort
okay?
of sorry. I just died. They're not saying that it's allergy season, man. And my
yes,
voice
is it rough. Is.
And Dave's thinking, why did you bring that up, man? I got right past
I should have quit smoking.
I was just going through this nicely. But no, what they're saying is that at this time, they are not using it in any sort of investigative capacity or any public spaces. So where they're using this, I don't know, maybe just at the police department on cameras there or in, you know, specific offices or who knows. But interesting that we could see that happening. But doesn't the UK have, I mean, they've got a very extensive camera service over there, I know.
Actually, probably. Several countries do. I mean, yeah. It seems like, and I've watched a lot of these videos on YouTube, and I'll start watching one, and then it's 3 hours later in bed, and I'm still watching. No, not what you're thinking, Adam. Over in the other countries, European countries, etc., and also some other, some Asian countries and stuff, every vehicle has car cams. Uh-huh. And I'm watching these car accidents is what I'm doing. It's just crazy car accidents. Just
kind of makes you want to get a webcam.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering how long it's going to be before every vehicle in the U.S. has them.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can right now. I can't remember the site, but I know there's a couple different websites you can go in that will just give you nothing but a huge directory of links to any public streaming webcams out there. So mm-hmm. all of your TV and news stations and weather, any of these places that do that, I mean, the Eagle Nest cams, any of that kind of stuff, you're going to see that all out there online. Anyone can jump in and watch it. One that I like to mm-hmm. watch in the fall a lot, if I'm working on something, I'll just throw it on in the background.
Oh, that giraffe having the baby?
No. I watch
over
one,
and
though.
Over again?
As a hunter, it's a live stream cam by a couple, a husband and wife hunting team.
Yeah,
they have a big farm in place down in Iowa. Oh, it's okay. Called the Crush Cam. It's Lee.
Yeah, they really crush
Lee and Tiffany Lukoski, and they
whoa,
got.
Oh, you can't say their names.
Sure, I can. And they've got this camera trained on a huge feeder they got out there, and you just sit there and watch as all these monster, you know, record breaking class whitetail. I don't understand what is going on here.
I'm trying to make everything you say sound dirty.
It's horrible. They just had. You can sit and watch all these huge bucks come in though. And
no, that's quality podcast entertainment right there.
Oh my gosh.
So as our technology continues to evolve, one of the things that's going to have to happen, as you know, I think, is the laws are going to have, there's going to have to be new laws for some of this stuff that it just doesn't fit into existing law. You know,
well,
the ability for the government to actively track your face, that has to be debated still, I think, as far as does that constitute an invasion of privacy or not?
Yeah.
No, we've seen some movies and TV shows and stuff. And I can't
TV shows, this guy.
I can't place it right now, but where, you know, somebody's walking through the streets and they're trying to avoid the cameras, and even with disguises, it's able to pick out that it's actually them. How far off do you think we are from that actually being implemented? I mean, this is...
Well, that's probably already there.
Yeah.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
But the ability for a computer system to automatically start mapping your face as you walk and matching you up to a database, I don't know if that's... I'm sure the government's probably been working on that.
Well, Apple already has everybody's face in their database. Thank you, iPhone 10.
Well, right? And here's what it comes down to, I guess. Amazon, I guess, refused to do an actual interview with NPR. They did put out a written statement pointing out that their visual analytics tools, which I'm quoting this from the NPR article we have linked up, that their tools have a wide range of applications beyond policing, and that their quality of life would be much worse today if we outlawed new technology, because some people could choose to abuse the technology. So imagine if customers couldn't buy a computer because it was possible to use that for illegal purposes. That's Amazon's statement. They also added that they require their customers to comply with the law and be responsible when using Amazon recognition. Now, that's fine for Amazon to say, we require, if you're going to use this, we require you to not break any laws. That's what everything says.
I won't.
Right. And okay, yeah, exactly.
Well,
and
I mean, you can't buy a gun. Break a user agreement.
Right. Well, and apparently they're saying that there are no laws that explicitly bar law enforcement from using real-time facial recognition, and the constitutionality of it has not been tested yet by the higher courts. So something that I would expect to see push up as soon as that first case of it happens.
I'm not doing any push-ups.
Someone's going to fight it.
One of the places you think they'd have this implemented for sure would be airports. You know,
yes, actually.
No-fly lists, et cetera. They could, you know, have the cameras automatically find people that are on a no-fly list, or could be...
Well, and that's an interesting question, because I wonder there if it's much easier to do it in a sense where... All they have to do is put a sign up saying there are cameras on premises, essentially. Think of any mall or any type of business you go into, security cameras present, meaning you, if you go into that place, you are consenting to be recorded, basically. And that would be a great way to do it at places like that, at airports and things like that, make it part of the security. I'm not necessarily in favor of them putting it at a, you know, every street corner
Taco Bell.
People out on the public streets wandering around. Right. But
well, there's a difference between you're being recorded, which is, you know, kind of normal and standard, to you're being ID'd.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
that's the big difference, because then it's going to be, I'm going to put on the Groucho Marx glasses and walk around.
Well, and as we just started off at the beginning of this show talking about the FBI issuing a warning, how long until that...
This just in, the FBI still has the same warning. Nothing's changed. Except my pants. Go on to Dave. What do you got?
Dan. Well,
Lieutenant
Dan. Like I was saying, though, how long until somebody cracks into that system and steals every bit of information that they profile?
Oh, it's probably already happened.
You know, and so something to pay attention to.
I would say it's before the end of the PS4.
Yeah, you know, I feel like we're really doing a PSA type of a
a PSA for the PS4. You got to give respect
PSA
to get
podcast,
respect.
Yeah,
it's the end of the PS4 as we know it.
Well, I feel fine about that, though.
I was gonna finish singing.
Oh.
So Sony has declared the PS4 era is entering its final stages.
Gotta play the intro music.
I don't have a PS.
Oh, don't do that.
It looks like Sony says it's the beginning of the end for the PS4.
Tell us more, Kevin.
We're going to switch this over to Lyle.
We are irritating so many people right now.
Listeners. We suck.
I'm sorry.
Well, this is Lyle here speaking to investors. PlayStation boss John Cadera outlined the company's 3-year roadmap, and it seems console sales are not expected to be a major source of revenue going forward. This is largely due to decline in sales, which is... Cordera notes, typical of the usual profit life cycle of consoles. It does also suggest a new console might be on its way. Likely the PS5? Well, I don't know. But Cordera didn't give any specifics other than don't look for a new console before 2021.
And I would say WTF, Lyle. W to the T to the F.
Way to report by just literally reading the first paragraph of the article. I love it.
So, I had to do a voice, though.
I know. I understand. So let's just give
Dave's
credit where
playing.
Credit is due.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to get Engadget mad at us. This is from an article we have linked in our show notes.
There,
from
we didn't.
Engadget.
We just cited it.
Yep, and we're good, so Lyle can go on reading. But this is kind of interesting news, right?
Well, it is, but it isn't. So here's Sony saying that, you know, we're entering the final stages of the PlayStation 4, yet they say don't expect a new console until 2021. So we still got 3 good years, which is actually going to put this at like...
That's going to be an
like
old system.
7 years or something, or more than that. So it's not like, hey, this is the Dreamcast, 2 years in, we're canceling it.
Right. Well, the thing I found interesting about it is the one line you read, though, that says they outlined the 3-year roadmap.
Acted. Yeah. I did not read it. I acted
you
it.
Yes. Exquisitely acted.
I am a thespian.
Okay. but he's always so dirty. No, but the company's 3-year roadmap, but the section that where they talked about how console sales are not expected to be a major source of revenue going forward. To me, that doesn't hint at a PS5. That hints at Sony saying, we are doing something new. We're not necessarily going to be making an updated PS4 as you know it. We want to take things in a different direction. We're planning on having something else to become our major revenue.
I know what they're doing.
Yeah?
Just from what you just said there, they are going the tablet route. They're going to give you the PS4 for free, but you got to pay for all of the extras.
Well, are they really going to do that when they're killing off the PlayStation Vita? I mean, PlayStation doesn't seem to be really into the portable gaming world.
My favorite comment from this article.
All right, let's hear it.
Oh, here we go.
Chris says, never owned a PS, never will. Dreamcast for life, ride or die.
That sounds like Chris from All Things Good and Nerdy.
Maybe
it was. Official Gunna Geek, because he doesn't own a PS4. And those guys are constantly on his backside to buy a PS4, and he keeps refusing. Chris, are you commenting on this article?
If you're at Chris576 at Engadget, then...
Dreamcast for life, I guess. Wow.
Dreamcast for life?
This news item doesn't really... I don't really care.
Well, it doesn't affect either of you because neither of you are PS4 owners. I am, but it still doesn't affect me because... Well,
it's not like they're going to come take it from you. we're done with PS4. Give it back.
Yes.
My name's Kurt, and I'm from Sony.
The thing that did get me excited about this and interested in it when I saw it, though, was the fact that if the PS4 is ramping down... And I'm still rocking this old PS3 here. Maybe that means in not too much time, they'll start, you know, getting set for the PS5.
$199 PS4.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll see a PS4, PS4 Pro come down in price enough where I'll finally decide to just pull the trigger on it. And I'll still be one system behind. But there's so many great games out there for the PS4 right now that I can't play.
Amazing amount of great games that we'll never be able to play. We just can't. Yep. We're too busy.
Were there any great games on the Vita?
There was a lot of great games on the Vita, but early on, later on in the life of the Vita, it switched to almost like, what do you want to call it? It was almost 100% indie games.
Okay.
There were some huge names at the beginning, like the God of Wars and all that, and those games looked fantastic on it, but that was in its infancy. But later on, they just weren't bringing those AAA titles anymore to the Vita just because it did not sell that well. And it became like an indie spot. I mean, every indie game was released on this. Now, here's what's going on here is Sony has now said that they will no longer manufacture actual cartridges. Oh, my goodness. Actual discs anymore.
I bet they won't, Ted.
They're not going to click. Kevin.
Cliff. Kevin. And you thought Dave was an unusual newsman name? Come on. Cliff.
They're no longer doing physical media anymore. It's the Vita's going strictly to downloadable content only.
Well, they're talking about that same similar release, I guess you'd say, from this John Codera, hinting that they might go straight mobile potentially with their portable gaming.
That's the second part of it. They're no longer going to make physical media. All Vita games have to be downloaded, but it now sounds like the next iteration, probably the PS5 they're commenting on, might become a Switch-type console where it's going to be both console and portable. And Nintendo really hit it out of the park with the Switch. I do have to tell you, the sales are phenomenal. People are loving this console. You're taking these games that look this great on the go. Yes, people are loving it. So it looks like another big name, Sony, is going, possibly going that route with the PS5.
Well, let me ask you this, because I haven't tried anything. I know like Fortnite and stuff is doing this right now. I haven't tried that, but I'm assuming that if you're playing Fortnite on your mobile device or your tablet, that's not going to link up and tie in with your game. So that's what I'd like to see happen, though, is a way that you could basically play, and it might not work for some games like a Fortnite or things like that, the online stuff, but let's say you're playing through something, I don't know, pick a game, and you're spending a lot of time.
Frogger.
Frogger, okay. So you're playing through Frogger 2020, and you're making progress and gaining levels and doing all this stuff, and then you can't be sitting at your TV, so you're able to grab your iPad or your high-end Android tablet and basically keep playing that, especially for like RPGs and things like that. That would be a perfect marriage where you could take that same save game
that,
and essentially roll back and forth between the two.
That probably will never happen because then you have to have these hardware manufacturers with different OSs agree to allow right. that to happen, which it probably won't. Where the Switch, you know, it's Nintendo, it's their one device that is portable and console. So easily able to do that. But I mean, if now what you're talking about does work if you stay within that walled garden per se, like
right.
say your phone, your iPhone and your iPad.
Right.
You could continue it because you do the cloud save, blah, blah, blah. Right. It syncs it up. But Android and iOS, no, it's a completely different. I have the same game on both mm-hmm. devices and they're their own entire individual selves.
Right. So what do you guys think? Let's make a prediction right here, because obviously Sony hasn't come out and said anything exactly yet what they're going to do next. Are they going to go to replace the Vita? Are they going to go with something along the lines of a hybrid PS5 Switch type thing, or maybe a separate device that lets you do both, maybe a lower priced PS5 essentially, that's the hybrid edition or whatever? Or are they going to take it just strictly mobile and let you use, you know, have their games and everything come out with a version right for your tablet or smartphone or whatever it is? What do you think happens? What's your prediction?
Well, this is Jason from the Digital Suit Podcast, and what I think...
I was waiting for it.
Yes. So what I think is going to happen is they're not going to be able to have two different devices because people are not going to buy a standalone PS5 at home and then the PS5 portable. Mm-hmm. They're probably not going to do that because each device would be $300 plus, you know, itself. Now, if they went the route of the Switch... style, and they had one device that could do both. I mean, maybe it could just be like an extended controller that also has a screen on it, sort of like the Wii U, but is truly portable. Where the Wii U, you guys don't own one, but you have to be within a certain distance of the main console, otherwise you won't be able to play the game on the screen.
Okay.
Where the Switch is, that is the console. You're just putting that into a dock. That dock is not the console. That just connects it to the TV. The
it's
actual
hickory dickory.
Yes, dock.
Well, let me ask you this, though, then, about the Switch-style console for a PS5, let's just call it that. They sacrifice a lot of power in the Switch to be able to make it portable.
They did, but, man, it still looks amazing. I mean, games look fantastic on it. Do they look like PS4 Pro or Xbox One X? No.
But do you think you can see Sony being willing to step back from the power game they're playing with Microsoft now on the Xbox for the most powerful system and all this beautiful, super powerful tech and these games that are just visually amazing, and step back to a little bit more degraded performance? And would, you know, users, Sony users and the like, would they be furious for losing that in...
Again, this is Jason from the Digital Suit Podcast. Look at the iPad. Look at the Android pads, the tablets. I cannot believe
you
graphics.
Look at them.
Yeah, no, you look at them.
Don't tell me where to look.
Oh, I'll tell you where to look.
It's like a maxi pad. Yeah.
What?
Fighting, I have no idea. To the max.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what you meant. I cannot believe the graphics, especially we just mentioned Fortnite. We just mentioned PUBG. These games look so freaking arc. Looks so freaking amazing on this. And this is a system.
I was wondering what you were saying. These games look so freaking arc.
They're so arc, you guys.
Yes. So arc. But this, you know, these tablets are not as powerful as a Switch.
Right.
The Switch is even more powerful. So Sony could make an even more powerful version of the Switch. Maybe it'll have to be a little bit thicker, you know, maybe a little bit better cooling, but not tremendously, because look at how good that looks on the iPad. These games look on that with something that has no fans, basically is lower powered. Well, in the
there's a lot of fans of the iPad. Come on.
and the video chip is not that spectacular in the iPad, but look what it's doing with these games. So I think there is a possibility that Sony could make a more powerful Nintendo Switch, but not have to be any bigger, bulkier, et cetera. And
that'd be kind of cool if they did. This has been a really good geek off. I appreciate it.
What?
You heard me. I said this has been a pretty good geek off.
Oh, no. You're not getting off that easy.
You two do not have a modern system. You don't have a PS4 or an Xbox One.
I don't even have an appendix.
Well, so we don't care about your thoughts after the fact.
So what do you guys think? If Sony was to come out with a Switch-esque PS5, do you think you would bite?
I might. That'd be cool if I didn't have other things to buy.
Yeah, it just depends on the price point and what the system's going to look like. I mean, as far as games and games.
Well, it better not look ugly, as long as it looks sweet.
Yeah, if they get that.
The only thing that matters is that it looks totally rad.
I don't care if it even turns on.
That's why I got the Atari VCS.
Oh, speaking of that, is it today? Did the Atari VCS go on
I think 2 days from now.
Days from now. Okay. I know I got some notification that it was finally going to be going on pre-order, but we don't know nothing about its games yet.
But as long as it looks sweet.
May 30th on Indiegogo.
Okay. There we go. Well, hopefully they'll show some live video of some gaming or something by that point. I mean, how do they expect somebody to drop three bones on something that you don't even know what the games look like, what kind of games are going to be on it, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So, Adam, what time is it?
I don't know. Is it time for a geek off or?
It's time for a geek off.
The geek off. This episode's either going to be...
The first geek was a sexy one. His name is Jason. The second geek looks like a geek from an old circus. He bites the heads off of pigeons. Oh, wow, that's bad.
Yep. keep going.
We still haven't got the second one's name.
You got the geek off.
Oh, this episode is either going to be hilarious or just a total train wreck.
Hilarious train wreck.
Have a sample of a train crash.
Yeah.
All right, Dave, let's do this thing.
Let's do this because I know none of us have seen it. I had planned to try and get to it this week, but never or this weekend, I should say, never
a
made
naked
it happen.
Woman?
No, I wanted to go.
None of us have seen this.
Well, we are geeks, right? No, I wanted to go check out the new Solo movie.
Man, I've heard is bad stuff about
See, and I haven't. I've heard that it's not doing well in the box office.
Lowest
but,
box office opening of any Star Wars movie in history.
But everybody that I know that I've talked to online, friends of mine and different people I know, have all said pretty much across the board that it's actually a really good flick. And
well, then why are people going to it?
I don't know. It might be one that...
This just in, it's losing money because it says you can't bring friends in the name. You go see it solo.
Awesome, dude.
I love it.
I just made that up, sorry.
No, I've heard it's pretty good. So
you got to keep playing that clip for everything. It's awesome.
I decided, though, since it is solo, it's a Star Wars weekend, I'm going to make you guys tell me the answer to this question.
Okay.
I want to know. From the original Star Wars trilogy, who was the best member of that original Star Wars trilogy team? And I'm talking about Han Solo, Chewbacca, Luke, Leia, R2, C-3PO, Obi-Wan, or Yoda.
Who is the best?
Yep, you pick the best. How? The one person. I want this narrowed down to one most important, best character on that team, the best member of the team, most vital, MVP, the GOAT, you call it what you want. That's the one I want you guys to figure out.
Helicopter, baseball.
Wait, why did you say Yanni?
This is Adam from the Digital Soup Podcast. I'm going to go with Obi-Wan Kenobi because not only did he have such a huge part to play in the garbage prequels, because that's a great argument.
But we're just talking the originals.
Just the originals, though. Just the original had he trilogy. Not been there, Luke never would have gone on any adventure. His aunt and uncle would have been straight up killed. They never would have met Han. Nobody would have ever met Leia. The whole universe would be destroyed. He is the linchpin to this whole thing.
Well, this is Jason from the Digital Soup Podcast.
Which podcast?
Digital Soup.
Oh, okay.
And I think the best person or character from the original series would be the guy that I met down in a swamp down in Dagobah, where it bubbles all the time like a giant carbonated soda. S-O-D-A soda. I saw the little runt sitting there in a log. I asked him his name, and in a raspy voice, he said, Yoda. Y-O-D-A Yoda. Yeah, Yoda.
I'm just waiting to see how long you go on with this.
I found the
right
chords.
So I'm going to go with Yoda because
we might have to cut that.
Who better than a Ninja Kermit the Frog? No, nothing. That is the best.
Ninja Kermit. Yes. I'm going to go with Ninja Kermit. Is that what he sounds like?
I do not.
Kermit was just on American Idol. Did you know that?
On American Idol. Yep, what, did Kermit, he sing?
Yeah, he sang a duet with one of the finalists on the season finale.
Oh, Miss Piggy?
Course, no.
Was she fat?
No, no.
And they had Kermit come on and it was all a big joke, an in-joke?
No, no.
That girl didn't know about?
Rainbow Connection?
Rainbow Connection,
that's
yeah.
a great song.
Yep. Sang it with one of the finalists because it was her song that she sang, I think, in the audition. So.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows?
So we've got Yoda here. Why Yoda?
Because I said he was a Ninja Kermit.
Yes, that is the letter it starts with, Dave. Very good. And I picked Obi-Wan.
See, Chewbacca. See.
I just heard one of my favorite podcasts I listen to called Tell 'Em Steve.
It's
Dave.
Time for.
No, they released a special episode just between their episodes a week ago or so. And it literally was one of the hosts just doing this very mellow reading of like Goodnight Moon, the children's book. It was hilarious. Just no context, no nothing. You just fire it up and it was just him reading this story and it ended. That was it. It was like 2 minutes long, but
perfect.
So Yoda, I don't know why you guys, no one's picking R2.
Worthless thing unless you need him to hack a.
Think
something.
Of how many times he saved them in a tough spot.
But he screams like a little girl when he's in an X-Wing.
Well, you would too if you were taking blaster fire from a TIE fighter. But think about this. I know what I get your point there, Adam, with Obi-Wan, and that's a very solid point about being the linchpin. R2 is the one that delivers Obi-Wan's message to Luke. He's True. The one that puts Luke in contact with Obi-Wan. He okay. saves him in countless scraps throughout all things with the blaster doors and everything else. Even in Return of the Jedi, he's the key part of the whole master plan. When Luke goes in to free Han and Leia and everyone else, he's got Luke's lightsaber up on the deck and launches that out to Luke as planned.
So what you're saying is the actual best character is all of them as a team.
Well, maybe.
And I would also add second runner-up Aunt Beru because she had the blue milk.
True. Got to go with the blue milk.
I'll laugh at myself and then show myself the door.
Breaking news.
No. I would say it would have to be Jabba the Hutt because he has like a chained bikini ladies that are dead.
Yeesh.
Too soon?
The Rancor.
Too soon. So Yoda,
the
R2.
Rancor. I bet you Jabba had some Rancors.
Oh, man.
That's terrible.
So we've got, as a final, just to make sure I'm on the right page, Yoda, Obi-Wan, and I'm going with R2. So listeners, let us know what you think. Of course, Adam, like you said, they are better as a team, but we want to know if you had to pick just one, who it was, so... I tried to make this a debating style geek off for you guys again, but we're having none of it.
Well, I mean, you can make an argument on any of them, really. Even the whole linchpin thing. If Luke Skywalker wasn't around, nothing would have happened either. True. And, you know, it's so I don't know.
True. Well, if Darth Vader wasn't around, there'd be no need for resistance.
And if there was no resistance, then you'd have no resistance.
Your pants would fall down.
And with what? with no pants, there's no. Your Sarlacc would be showing.
That's terrible. No one wants a first look at that.
Breaking news. The first look at Matt Groening's new show. The first new show in 20 years, it seems. Is that actually accurate? When did Futurama come out?
It's been a while. I bet you I was in high school.
It's been a long time. Getting from here to there.
Wow.
2 decades. You're getting so old, man.
No kidding.
Nearly Matt 20 Groening, years. Yeah.
He's actually putting out a brand new show called Disenchantment. And I believe this is going to be on Netflix. Is that correct?
Yep.
And of course, the animation style is very Simpsons-ish. And it looks like it's going to take place in the crumbling medieval kingdom named Dreamland and centers on the exploits of a hard-drinking princess named Bean, her plucky elf friend Elfo, and her personal demon
Loki.
I'd just go with Lucy.
Lucy. As they match wits with ogres, sprites, harpies, imps, trolls, walruses, and a lot of human fools. Walruses?
Yes!
Gonna go full walrus.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's coming up later this summer already.
And you know what? As long as, what's his name? Oh, man. Why can't I remember him? Fresh Prince guy.
Will Smith.
Will Smith.
Yeah, as long as Will Smith's not around, the sprites will have a long, happy life.
Yeah.
Or fairies or whatever killer. That was.
Yeah. I don't know. I think this looks
Seven Up is the sprite killer.
No, so you know what? Hey. Mountain Dew Ice. Have you guys tried this?
No, I haven't drank soda.
It is delicious. It tastes just like 7-Up, Sprite, etc., but it's got caffeine.
Oh.
I mean, if I had caffeinated water, I'd drink nothing but caffeinated water.
You can get it.
I can't. I'd never find it. Where? What's its name, and where do I get it?
I can find it in like 7 different gas stations here.
Its name is Harold.
Java water?
Yeah.
Thirsty.
this series Disenchantment, though, it looks pretty interesting. I mean, it is fantasy, which I think is a risk in today's day and age, especially with animated, because who knows what people are going to think of it. But if it's going to bring a lot of that humor and sarcastic wit, knowing that it's on Netflix, it probably will, you know, toe those lines and cross those lines.
It's definitely not for children. Just we got to let everybody know.
It will
that.
Do well, though.
Yeah, much
Simpsons
more.
Simpsons is legendary. So
exactly. Futurama. Yeah, and it looks good. I mean, 10 episode first season coming out August 17th. I mean, some big names in the voice acting side of things, but I think it just looks like something fun and different, and it'll be cool to see him do something else, even though it's going to visually look a lot like The Simpsons.
But oh, it does, too. If you take a look at the, you know, screenshots, images, whatever you want to say, it looks just like a Simpsons.
Right. And so it's something interesting to keep an eye on. I plan on watching it, of course, you know, once it drops, so maybe we can do a little chat about it. We can all blast through this 10-episode season and chat about it at some point.
That'd work. That looks good, though. It looks cool. Yeah.
Could be fun.
There might be some additional breaking news coming up here.
Uh-oh.
Breaking news, the cast of HBO's Watchmen has been revealed, and the fantastic Regina King will lead them.
What?
Whoa.
This is
who's reporting this?
I think it's Kelvo.
I would just say Variety.
Yeah. Passing over to Usually Kelvo.
So there. like
Usually Kelvo.
I just made up a name, okay?
Like Jason just said, Variety. This is an article on IO9, actually, through the Gizmodo site. But Variety has talked to it, and they've found Regina.
Wait
Regina
a second.
King. Yep.
Weren't there only 7?
7.
Dwarfs?
This is not Snow White.
Well, you said IO9 instead of IO7.
Io, it's what? Off to work. I go.
Oh, jeez, that was a reach.
Yeah. Everything with this is a reach. I'm so short.
That was. So what's going on, though, is they've got a pretty big cast that are all going to join here for this new Watchmen program. But the thing is, you'll notice as you look through this article, there is none of the big characters that everyone knows, the comedian, Dr. Manhattan, Rorschach, none of them are mentioned as far as who is being cast for them. Now, while there are some big name stars that have come out saying that they are being cast in the series, which should make it good, this mm-hmm. series that's now come out, and it feels a little bit like a bait and switch from HBO because it's not really a sequel, I guess, and it's not going to really have any of the characters that you know, as the main characters from The Watchmen. It's essentially what they're calling Lindelof, the creator here, is talking about the original 12 issues being their Old Testament. It all happened, which was the Watchmen series in the comics. The comedian died. Dan and Laurie fell in love. All of this stuff. And so basically they're having in a bunch of new faces, new characters, new masks, and it's all taking place in the same world, but an entirely different story. So a lot of the people that were so excited for a live action Watchmen to be coming, you know, something along the lines of Arrow or, you know, The Flash or any of these shows, a lot of people are feeling a little disappointed because it's not going to be that Watchmen story they were hoping for. So kind of a little swerve from HBO, but hopefully they do it justice and can make a new world in that territory where it's still, you know, exciting hopefully. For people. Yeah, I'm dying. Sorry. You guys are terrible.
No, sorry, Dave.
We're pretty awesome.
We're just trying to be hilarious and not working out.
Yeah, and I'm trying here to just, you know, tell this story, bring some news, and I start choking because my voice is going, stupid allergies. And
hey, well, instead of making fun of you, I'm going to bring a little something to the story here. You had mentioned, you know, Arrow specifically. You had just brought that up. Did you guys hear how close this was to actually getting canceled along with all the other shows that got canceled?
Yeah.
Arrow, I guess, is one of the lowest CW superhero rated shows, and it was on the verge of being canceled, but I can't remember exactly 100% why it wasn't. I believe it had something to do with, you know, all the crossovers and the universe, etc., that they wanted to keep it whole, but there was talk about it being one of the shows canceled, which, you know, I know Dave got into the show pretty hardcore for a while. Yep. I've still only seen the first episode. But, I mean, yeah, there was a lot of shows that were canceled.
Yeah.
You guys heard about that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The only thing I'm not caught up on is the most recent season of the Arrowverse. I haven't watched Flash, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, or Supergirl yet. But there's a theory out there, and I actually heard the guys over at All Things Good and Nerdy here on the network talk about it a week or two ago.
Who?
ATGN. Our network pals.
ESPN? I love ESPN.
Dun, dun, dun. But, sorry.
Breaking news. The Cleveland Cavaliers are now going into the finals.
I don't even know what a Cavaliers is.
I did not say Cavaliers.
Oh, let's play it back.
I will edit that in post.
Yeah, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
No,
that's
but
what it'll sound like.
Well, what those guys were talking about, and I've heard it out there, and I tend to agree with this also, is there's a lot of talk that what's going to happen with the CW, they're going to keep all of the shows together until they get to a point here in the next year or two where they just cancel all of them. Because it looks like CW with a lot of their programming is trying to bring back more of the traditional classic CW shows like Charmed reboot.
That's exactly what they're,
you know, a lot of that coming back. So I think we'll see a time in the very near future. I don't know if it'll be a year, 2 years, what it'll be, but where they're going to wrap up all of them together because their storylines do intertwine so much and they'll just cut them all off, which kind of sucks. But, you know, because even though Arrow is struggling, it's got so much potential if they just stop with the soap opera part of it. And
well, that's the CW. All of their, yes, we love that we have all of our DC universe over here, and overall the shows are pretty good, but every single one of them has to have all this love interest type stuff because it is the CW.
Well, and that's not to say that those story arcs aren't in the comics either, but I think what I'd love to see more than anything, excuse me, is that when they cancel all the shows off the CW, make that decision, pull the pin, get rid of all of them off of television for now, and then let's bring in Arrow, let's bring in Martian Manhunter, let's bring in The Flash, who's already in there in the movies, and bring them all into the DC cinematic universe and have a proper Justice League with all of these characters together.
You mean the TV ones being the movie?
Yep. Well, not the same actors. No, not the same actors. The characters I'm talking about. You know, bring in a movie version of Arrow. Bring in a movie version of Supergirl. I mean, I wouldn't mind some of the actors playing those roles. The girl that plays Supergirl is fantastic.
And I think the guy that plays Flash, I don't know what his name is, I think he does a great job of it.
Grant
too.
Gustin Gordon. On TV. Yeah.
Gordon Freeman.
Flash Gordon Freeman.
Yeah.
He's got his crowbar.
How would that sound if Morgan Freeman was a Flash and talked like that really fast?
We said Gordon Freeman, not Morgan Freeman.
I know, but it just made me think.
You've lost your nerd cred.
It made me think. I know Flash Gordon and then Freeman. I get
I'm
it.
I'm really, really fast.
That's too slow.
Don't tell me how slow I am.
he's gonna have to talk faster. Although maybe we shouldn't talk about Morgan Freeman.
I can't do a
Freeman.
Morgan Freeman impersonation.
Maybe we shouldn't
talk
about
him.
Well,
you did a decent one there.
Yeah, he's now, in Dave, the news for another Me Too person. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Who
is every actor that every actor that I respected before has now harassed a woman at one time or another, it seems like.
Yeah.
Before you go on, I wanted to ask you about one other canceled show here, ABC's Marvel's Inhumans. Did you watch this?
No, I did not.
I seen every episode, and I actually kind of dug it, and now it's canceled.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. I planned to get to it, but I wasn't. I heard a lot of bad things about it, so I wasn't too...
No, it wasn't the greatest. I mean, I do think The Gifted is a much better show.
Yeah.
They're very similar, but I do think The Gifted is better.
Yeah.
See, to me, this still goes back to we're so oversaturated with superhero stuff.
Oh, we are. You're exactly right, Adam from the Digital Soup Podcast.
Yeah, I said it.
Yeah, yes. I want no part
and
of
it. And he meant it.
I want no part of that because I don't believe we are. I love seeing them. It's just that I think they're getting to a point where they're going to have to start making some decisions on putting either more effort into focusing on fewer characters or just making them kind of like the comics where characters come in and out for a season or two and then it goes to something else. You know, we're going to be seeing a whole lot more with DC, you know, Teen Titans and a lot of stuff coming out there too.
Well, Dave, you say that you don't think we're overly saturated, but I think Adam's going to have another viewpoint on that.
This just in, we're oversaturated with superhero movies. Now let's move on to our next story on Ryan Reynolds, Michael Bay, and Deadpool writers produce a Netflix exclusive film.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, another superhero film?
No.
Yay!
What this is, it's like you said, Ryan Reynolds, Michael Bay, and the writer of Deadpool, one of his co-writers, they're actually doing a new film that's going to be titled Six Underground, which they're assuming means some kind of reference to obviously being 6 feet underground. They're not saying a ton about what it is.
I thought they were talking about all those miners that got trapped underground.
Yeah, so, no.
But there was more than six. What happened to the rest of them? News at 11.
So Six Underground is expected to begin production this summer. And will be released on Netflix in 2019.
Right. And it looks interesting because they're kind of indicating that it could be a series of films because they said the first in, you know, calling it an action franchise or something to that effect. So
what's the premise?
They're not saying a whole lot, just other than it's, you know, action movies. And it's going to revolve around basically six billionaires who fake their own death and form an elite team to take down bad guys. So,
I thought it was about six gophers, animated series about six gophers.
No, I thought it looked cooler because Ryan Reynolds is so funny, you know, and whether you
two girls, a guy in a pizza place, am I right?
Yeah, well, I mean, whether you like Michael Bay or not, he's got a big name and he knows what he's doing for the most part. I think, you know, knows better than I do.
I think.
And, you know, but the writers on Deadpool also, along with Ryan Reynolds, they did such a good job of just making some incredibly funny dialogue and
breaking
stories.
Breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah, and I don't know that we'll see necessarily that, but I expect it to be one of these action flicks or maybe a series of movies that's going to be... I mean, in my head, what I'm picturing is something like The Expendables, kind of, but only with a ton of that... You know, Ryan Reynolds humor in it, I think, it'd be fantastic.
I still have never seen any of the Expendables yet.
You should. They're actually
I know
pretty
I
fun.
Should.
Yep, they're pretty decent.
With Michael Bay directing, you know there's going to be explosions.
And flares.
And Transformers.
Well, J.J. Abrams does more flares.
That's but, true. That's
but
right.
Michael Bay does more explosions and scantily clad women. So
oh, I mean, yeah. So that would
expect fit. That.
Yeah, that would be all right then, I guess.
You know who does the most flare ever, though?
The guy from Office Space.
Yes, I was gonna say that. Jennifer Aniston's coworker.
Look, this is the minimum amount of flair. Okay.
See, this is awesome because Adam and I are on the same wavelength here. This is
weird.
Science.
Well, that looks cool. I'd watch that. Wait, what did you say? Weird science. Nice.
Okay,
it's
Chet.
Alive.
Now there's a news name, Chet.
Yes.
Chet.
Oh, yeah. Chet.
Chet.
Yeah.
Chet.
That's his
Get
brother,
your
right?
Chet together.
So I think it might be time for a little Gunna Geek.
Yeah, that's right. So this week, what we have for you guys, it's a show we've talked about before. It's called Super Geeky Playdate. They've got episode number 71 called Chronicles of Darkness, Mind Over Manor. The description they have here for us is Ty Parallax Bailey brings us through the Alaskan wilderness to a mysterious manor. Will our heroes survive long enough to make... I don't want to say it because... I don't want to say it because it's you know, not necessarily family friendly. Will they survive Whoopee? Long enough to make weenie jokes? The Maddie K Minute returns. So that is there. It's always a fun time with Super Geeky Playdate. You can find them over at GunnaGeek.com, along with a whole host of other shows there that are sure to find something in your geeky interest that you're going to enjoy. So go check out Super Geeky Playdate as well as all the other shows on the Gunna Geek Network. And Adam, I think it's time we wrap this up with a little bit of the Weekly Garnish.
The garnish.
That's James Hetfield on the keyboards.
It's time for a weekly garnish.
All right. This week's weekly garnish is for all of you classic gamers out there. Now, everybody's heard about the Raspberry Pi, correct? You guys heard about the Raspberry Pi?
Why, yes.
I've heard about the Raspberry Pi.
Yes, it's Jerry. A great little hobbyist computer, which is great for classic gaming.
Is it great? What?
It is fantastic for classic gaming, except when you get to the more, well, some of the newer systems that need a little bit more processing power. Now, the Raspberry Pi 3 can handle PlayStation 1 pretty well and anything older than PlayStation 1, except for N64 for some reason. There was a few games that would run full speed, but most of them were jerky as heck. And don't even think about doing Dreamcast or Saturn or anything like that on it. Well, guess what, guys? There's another company out there that also makes a small motherboard, little all-in-one computer. It's called the Odroid, and I'm specifically talking about the Odroid XU4. Now, what is so cool about this, guys, is it doubles the core count of the Raspberry Pi 3. Hmm. You're going from 4 to 8 cores. Right there, you're going to be able to emulate some of these newer systems a little bit better.
I'm emulating right now.
We don't want to know what you're doing, dude.
I wish you guys had seen Deadpool. There's a joke that
okay.
would have fit perfect. Sorry.
All right. Well, we'll see it someday, and then we'll come back and redo this episode.
Yeah,
anyways, it also
does. We might need to. This thing's such a train wreck. Yeah.
Now, it also doubles the RAM to 2 gigabytes, which is another thing that's going to really, really help the emulation power of this. Now, you can play more N64 games at full speed. There's a lot of videos out there showing how well it works. And one of the things that absolutely blew my mind was Dreamcast emulation. It is so close to being full power or full speed. Definitely check out those videos. playing some of these great Dreamcast games on a little system there from a you don't have no discs. It's all just files, so it's loaded up from a menu. It's amazing.
I have never heard of this product. Where are they made?
They're New Amsterdam, and I'm just making that up because I really don't know.
That's nice.
But New Amsterdam is, who
it
else?
Looks like Illinois is what it says. Never mind.
Oh, Illinois. It's
I'll
a U.S.
do the
based...
work and look myself.
Thanks, man. Now, it's awesome. And then they also make a sweet, sweet case for this. I mean, there's lots of cases, but there's a brand new N64 case coming out, and it mimics the stylization of the classic N64 case, but it has a 2-inch LCD screen at the front of it. Now, you don't get to play games on it, but what it does is it'll give you system info. Say you load up Dreamcast, it actually has the Dreamcast boot sequence load up, same with N64, blah, blah, and all that. It'll give you different information about the game you're playing, speeds, memory usage, all that kind of cool stuff. And the case looks really nice, so we'll have that link in there too. But for those that have been wanting to make the RetroPie Raspberry Pi systems, if the N64 and the Dreamcast is the way you want to go, you probably want to steer away until they bring out the Raspberry Pi 4. So right now, go with the Odroid, and you're going to be emulating that to your heart's content.
So the Raspberry Pi 3 can't handle the N64 emulation?
A few of the games, but very slowly. Go watch some of the videos here, and you'll see what I mean. GoldenEye is very slow and stuttery, where if you take a look at the same game on the Odroid, it is full speed. It's awesome. Okay.
I like
so it. That was a weekly garnish.
There. Totally garnished, you guys. Just living the dream here, putting together a quality show for our listeners.
Yeah.
So, guys, Jason, cue that music again.
In breaking news, it's time to end the podcast. As always, you can find all of our information over at digitalsouppodcast.com, including extra articles and cool things that we've written. We've also been throwing out some YouTube stuff, and so check out our content there. All those links can be found on our site, again, at digitalsouppodcast.com. Please tell a friend about us. Interact with us on Twitter. Send us an email. If you have a question or something, you can always record the audio and send it over to Jason at digitalsouppodcast.com. We'll actually play it on the show. Additionally, we would also love to see some more subscribers, so tell a friend about us. Leave a review. You can, of course, subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts. So from all of us at the Digital Soup Podcast, all you listeners, have a wonderful week. We'll catch you next time.
Take care, guys.
Later, sloths.
That's not nice.
Well, they move pretty slowly, and they got these really freaky-ass nails.
You would, too, if you never had a nail clipper.
And have you ever seen a sloth eat a banana? I know Dave has.
What?
I mean, they just rip that sucker apart. They eat its skin and all.
Oh, my gosh.
Where are we going with this?
We need to, yeah, 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 go away.